Thank you, Brother Trevor. I want to thank you all for making it out tonight. And I would also like to thank each of you for your support in the Mexican dinner Friday night. It was a phenomenal success. We had a great time. I think everyone that attended enjoyed it. And it was a great blessing for our church in Yucatan to raise enough funds to at least get the kitchen completed. And I think that's a pretty astonishing task. So feel free to continue to donate to the cause if you like, because we have a long ways to go. But we're also going to be putting on some fundraisers in other parts of the country. But it was just so heartwarming to see so many people come out and support that effort. And again, I just want to thank you so much. This hymn that we just sang, 140, Soldiers of Christ Arise and Gird Your Armor On. You know, we think about the enormous task that's set before us. We think about the fact that we've been commissioned to take the gospel to all of the world. And that this is the Lord's purpose. And he's going to see to it that it gets done. And he's appointed us to do it. And we think, how can we possibly do it? It says, stand in his great might. Stand in the strength and the power of the Lord. And we can accomplish it. And it's kind of an awesome task, but it's one that brings great hope and great joy to me. And that's what I'd kind of like to talk about tonight. I'd like to talk about the various servants of the Lord who found joy in serving God and doing his will. And I think this speaks to thankfulness and to thanksgiving that the servants of God found joy and they were thankful to the Lord for the opportunities that they had to serve him and the success that they had when they stood in his great might. Today's been a great day for me. It's been kind of a day of service from beginning to end. Teaching Sunday school class and then putting on the Thanksgiving potluck was the kitchen committee just really has a blast putting on the dinners. We really enjoy it because we know that we're serving our brothers and sisters and we try to do everything we can to make it as pleasurable an experience as we can and to run smoothly and to work together in the joy of the Lord. And it brings me great joy, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve. Opportunity to serve this afternoon in the choir practice and putting together the music for Christmas and to blend our voices together and to really concentrate on it and work on it, knowing that it's going to be to the glory of God. And then the opportunity to stand before you tonight and to share with you the words of scripture that have been preserved for us down through the ages. I'd like to begin in the book of Alma, chapter 5. And these are the words of Alma, the son of Alma. And I'm sorry. And he's speaking to his people and he's really excited and he's really joyful and thankful to the Lord because of the efforts that the people have put forth to be a righteous people. And I'd just like to read a few verses from this fifth chapter of Alma, found on page 322. Behold, my beloved brethren, seeing that I have been permitted to come unto you, therefore I attempt to address you. in my language. Yea, by my own mouth, seeing that it is the first time that I have spoken unto you by the words of my mouth, I having been wholly confined to the judgment seat, having had much business, that I could not come unto you. He was serving the Lord in a different capacity, and now he has been relieved of that responsibility, and he's able to come to the people and to speak to them and to relate to them his joy. And even I could not have come now at this time were it not that the judgment seat hath been given to another to reign in my stead. And the Lord in much mercy hath granted that I should come unto you. And behold, I have come, having great hopes and much desire that I should find that ye had humbled yourselves before God, and that ye had continued in the supplicating of his grace, that I should find that ye were blameless before him, that I should find that ye were not in the awful dilemma that our brethren were in Zarahemla. But blessed be the name of God, that he hath given me to know, yea, he hath given unto me the exceeding great joy of knowing that they are established again in the way of his righteousness. And I trust, according to the Spirit of God, which is in me, that I shall also have joy over you. His joy, his thankfulness that his people had turned to the Lord, had turned from their wicked ways, had put away their desires and their lusts and their human emotions and turned to God and strove to do his will and to serve him. What a beautiful thing it is when God's people work together to accomplish God's will. Continuing in the 34th verse. Yea, I perceive that you are making his paths straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. I was working down in the kitchen this morning, and I heard these words coming out of the little speaker box on the wall. And I thought, well, Brother Martin is giving my sermon. I wonder what I'm going to do. And I mentioned something to some of the people down there, and they said, well, if that's what the Lord wants the people to hear, then they're going to hear it again. I'm thinking perhaps the microphone is just a little bit too hot. I feel like I'm getting some feedback coming back at me. And I thought, okay, then we'll just read this again. And there's such beautiful, beautiful verses that there is a path set before us. And we can veer to the left, we can veer to the right, or we can stay on that straight path, that one that leads back to God, that eternal round that we leave from God and we end up coming back directly to him. He doth not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received into the kingdom of God. Those can be considered rather harsh words, and they could cause us to be discouraged. That it's just not possible. I can't do it. But Alma's finding joy in his people, that they were working on staying on that path, that they had the mindset that if they were going to enter into the kingdom of God, that they had to remain spotless, to remain undirtied from the world. Therefore, I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he who is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. When we come to that great day, we need to be prepared. We need to have that atonement of Christ in place in our lives, that we can avail ourselves of his forgiveness, that we have continued in that path of righteousness and that path of repentance and turning from the filthiness of the world. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And I was thinking about this the other day, and looking back on the changes that I've made in my life and the attempts that I've made, however feeble they were, to lead a righteous life. And it says that this is our duty. And I think about how many times I've spoken to people who had the impression that this duty was a grievous task, that there was no joy in this, and that it was just an endless series of thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that, and you have to do this and you have to do that. But when you're in that path and you have a desire in your heart to serve the Lord, and you have an understanding of his plan of salvation and that great glory that awaits us, then it's not a grievous task and it's not a burden, but rather it's a joy, and it's one that we can give thanks for. It's one that we can be thankful that he's called us out of the world and into his glorious light and given us this opportunity to walk and talk with him and to be his people. And now I would that ye should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long suffering. I think this is maybe why God gives us children. Because it awakens us to a sense that these are things that we need to do, not only to please God, but these are things that we need to do if we're going to raise up our children to be God-loving people and to be people that bring joy to the world rather than bringing heartache and sadness. When you first hold that little baby, your child, your first child, there's that feeling in your heart that you want to be humble and submissive and patient and long-suffering, because you have that tiny soul in your hand and you want to nourish that little one and raise him up to be a beautiful servant. Being temperate in all things and being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, and always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive. We can go to God in supplication, and we can ask him for all of the things that we need. And then we wait. And we can at this point have two paths. We can be upset and discouraged because we didn't receive everything we asked for, or we can be thankful for the things that we do receive, knowing that they have come from the almighty hand of God, and that in his loving kindness, he's given us the things that we need. The same as in our loving kindness, we give the things that our little baby children need. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity. And then ye will always abound in good works. This is a cause and effect relationship. So many of the churches of the world have a disdain for the thought of doing good works, because they've been indoctrinated to believe that if you're attempting to do good works, then you're just doing these things because you're somehow trying to buy your way into heaven. But the good works come from a pure heart. See that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and then the result is ye will always abound in good works. And that the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets who have been ever since the world began. What an incredible promise. In that great day, we can sit down with Abraham. Can you imagine that? I can imagine sitting down with Christ and being in the presence of God. But somehow it's easier for us to think in terms of Abraham, because, you know, he was totally human just as we. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets. I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with Isaiah. Wouldn't that be great? Wow. Having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out forever and ever throughout all eternity. Let's turn in the Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And David has just bestowed the kingdom upon his son Solomon, knowing that he was not the one appointed to build the temple, even though it was his heart's desire that he would build that temple. The Lord made it known to him that that was not his privilege, but that privilege would be given to his son. And like a good father, he was pleased with that. He was pleased that the Lord was willing to honor his son, that one who had been that little baby that he held in his arms and loved and nourished and raised up in the righteousness of God. And so Solomon was not of age, sufficient age to actually reign and to begin work on the temple. And so, like a good father, David started laying some of the groundwork and appointed men throughout all the kingdom to gather up all of the materials and all of the precious metals and gems and all of the hard, solid wood, all these things that would be needed to build the temple. Let's read in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. I'll begin at the first verse. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of all diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. went to a huge amount of effort to gather up all of this precious stuff. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? He's saying not only did he gather all of these things from throughout the kingdom, but he gave greatly of his own personal abundance, that the house of the Lord might be built. You know, and it reminds me of Friday night. You know, we're not building gold-covered walls. We're building concrete block walls covered with stucco. We're building restrooms on a rocky plain in Mexico. But it's no less glorious because it's there to serve the Lord and it's there to bring souls to Christ, that they would serve him in holiness and righteousness throughout their days. And then he asked this question. He said, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? David set the example. And then he asked the people, are you willing? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to feel the great joy that I feel in having the privilege of serving God? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. Is that beautiful? They didn't feel like it was some grievous duty that they had to do. Oh man, this is going to cost me. Oh, I'm going to have to give up my Sunday afternoons to do something else for the Lord. Oh man, I'm going to have to give up my Saturday nights to go help the young people's meeting. I'm going to have to give up my Saturday mornings to go help work on somebody's house. Now, they offered it willingly. That's the joy. That's what we want to thank God for, that he's given us the opportunity to serve him with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. I don't know, I'm sure we can calculate how much this was, but I'm sure it was a huge quantity, worth an enormous quantity of money. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Listen to this verse 9. Then the people rejoiced. The people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. They were thrilled that they got to do something to serve the Lord. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. If you ever feel like you just don't know what to pray, or you don't know how to pray, read what David said. Read how David prayed. He gave us a wonderful example of how to praise God. And this needs to be a huge part of our prayer. We need to hold back a little bit rather than moving straight ahead to what we want. And remember that we're blessing the Lord. We're praising the Lord. We're thanking Him for all that we are and all that we have. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We thank thee. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? What a humble statement. After giving this huge, giant amount of material for the temple, it would be so easy to sit back and puff up your chest and say, I'm really proud for what I've been able to do for the Lord. I really did a great deed here. And David said, who am I? Who are we? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. He said, we get no glory out of this, because all of these things were yours to begin with, God. And we're just giving them back to you. And they did it thankfully and joyously, grateful for the opportunity that they had to serve God. One of my favorite passages is Psalm 100. I read it a lot. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Now, this is a verse that the scientists and the philosophers of the world need to understand better. That we didn't make God, we didn't make up the concept of God just so that we'd have it to call upon. God made us. We didn't make him. God made us the way we are, exactly the way he wanted us to be. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If we're his people, then we do what he wants. We serve him, and we do it with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. I know it's kind of easy to be a little grumpy on Sunday morning and say I'd really rather just stay asleep. And sometimes if you haven't had enough sleep, it's easy to be impatient and a little upset that you have to get out in the rain and the snow and whatever it is and go to church. Wouldn't it just be a whole lot easier to stay home and sleep? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When you leave your bedroom, thank God that you get to go be with his people. When you leave your house, when you get in the car, when you get out of the car, when you walk in the door of the church, say, thank you, Lord, that I have this opportunity, this blessed opportunity to be in your house and to be with your people. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Begins by saying, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We need to follow God the way our little babies follow us. And when you see a little baby look into his mother's eyes or his father's eyes and reach up and touch their face, there's a love there. There's an adoration. There's an incredible thankfulness and joy and appreciation for the opportunity to be in the presence. And that's how we should feel about God. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We know people who are spiritually asleep. We've all been spiritually asleep, I suspect. And God called us out of that sleep. He said, awake and arise. Arise from the dead. Enter into my heavenly light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming is kind of an interesting biblical word. And, you know, I like to think of it in terms of going to the store and you've got coupons. And you redeem those coupons. You hand them in, scan them, whatever it is, and you get something back in return. You get some benefit back in return. God has given us time. He's given to each and every one of us exactly 24 hours in every day. No more, no less. He's given us 365 days in every year. No more, no less. And every day we have the opportunity to honor this verse 16 or not. Are we going to redeem our time? Are we going to take our time and are we going to turn it in, hand it over to God and say, here's my time? Or are we good stewards of our time? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're surrounded by it. If we don't hand our time over to God, then the evil one is just sitting there waiting to gobble it all up. And he's good at it. He's good at it. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He has a work for each one of us. And our job is to figure out what it is. He's given us a talent. He's given us opportunity, and he's waiting. He's waiting to see if we're going to redeem the time, if we're going to redeem the talent and work for him. Be not drunk with wine where it is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always. No matter what it is, maybe there's some things that happen in your day and you're not very pleased about it and you don't see why you need to thank God for giving you a crummy day. But he gives us these things to teach us patience, to help us realize that when we're not walking in his path, crummy things happen, to give us the strength and the motivation and the desire to seek him, when otherwise we might be more inclined to just go along our merry way, assuming, well, I just have a charmed life and everything's going great for me and I don't need God. But we do. We need him all the time. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We submit ourselves one to another when we set aside our desires, our time, and help a brother. When we decide to stop doing what we want to do and help our wife or our husband, or our kids, or our neighbor, or our brother or sister. There are consequences to all of this. Let's look in 2 Timothy. Seems like a lot of us, chapter 2, verse 12. Okay. A lot of us are involved in building trades or end up being involved in building processes from one time or another. And there's a verse here that's going to just strike home. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him, meaning Christ. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. I thought, what in the world does that mean? I want to ask you a question. You ask someone, do you believe in God? And they say, no. Does that mean God doesn't exist? No, of course not. If I say God doesn't exist, does that mean God doesn't exist? No. Of course he exists. I just choose not to recognize it. So if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He's there. He's waiting. He's willing to bless us if we're willing to accept him. Of these things, put them in remembrance, speaking about sending his servants out to preach the gospel. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. We need to be careful of the discussions that we get into, that we not argue about things that are of no value, but rather find those nuggets of truth, those points of the gospel, those words of the scripture that are clear, that speak to our salvation, those things that we all agree upon, and we concentrate on those things, it will keep us out of a lot of trouble. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I've seen some mighty beautiful carpentry work done by our brothers and sisters. And they're going to work at that and work at that and work at that until they can walk away from that job and they're not ashamed of the job that they did. Because they want to bring glory to themselves? No. Because they're serving God by doing the best that they can in what they're doing. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Paul's not talking about carpenters here. Well, he's talking about spiritual carpenters. He's talking about us and how we go about doing the things that we do, how we go about building our spiritual house. At the end of the day, are we ashamed of the work that we've done in building our spiritual house? Have we studied to show ourselves approved? Have we searched God's word? Have we gone to Him in prayer and said, Lord, I got this decision to make. Help me make it. Help me know the right way to go on this. Lord, I've got a situation with my brother or with my wife or with my son or with my children. I need to know how to deal with this in a way that will bring peace and harmony and love into the situation. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has set a standard for us. He set a standard of excellence, spiritual excellence, and He expects nothing less than that. In Malachi, God spoke to His people, and quite honestly, He was pretty disappointed with them. And He chastised them. These are things you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And you wonder why you're not getting any blessings. So I'll tell you why you're not getting any blessings. Because you're not following me. You're not seeking my face. You're not seeking my will. Let's read in chapter 3 of Malachi. We're going to start at verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. God said, you folks have spoken harshly to me because they've said, Lord, why aren't you blessing us? Well, we think, well, that's pretty bold to go to the Lord and say, why aren't you blessing us? But maybe we need to look at our own actions and see if we've done the same thing. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? The people said, what did we say? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? They weren't serving the Lord with gladness. They weren't serving Him out of a desire to please Him. They weren't serving God because it gave them joy to do it. This is why Christ spoke so negatively about the old law. Because they kept the old law out of a sense of drudgery almost. We have to do it. We have to do this. We have to do that. He didn't do it willingly and joyously from the heart. And this is what Christ was trying to tell them. There's a law that I've written in your heart. Verse 15, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt the Lord. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, how often do we see people who have no regard for God, but yet they prosper? The bulk of the people that the world calls famous, the celebrities, the sports figures, the movie stars, all of the glitzy folk that don't really do anything, but yet they have wealth untold, frequently don't love the Lord. They don't give God the credit. They don't follow His commandments. But yet they prosper. They've got tons of money. But how often do we see these people in their old age die in misery, surrounded by their wealth? Because they had no hope. They put their hope in their riches instead of in their God. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. This is the other side of the coin. These are the kind of the righteous bunch. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. We know about that book of remembrance. We want our names to be in that book of remembrance. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Remember Psalm 100, those that serve the Lord with gladness. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. What beautiful words. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. With the Lord's help, I would like to remind you of a dream that our sister, Lady Uluak-Petch, had in Yucatan. This is a hard thing to read. But what a beautiful dream that she had of this day that Malachi was talking about. Hello, my name is Lady. I'm a member of the YLK congregation, and I'm 18 years old. I praise God greatly that He gave me the gift of a Christian family. For me, it is a great blessing that I will never be able to thank Him for enough. Today, I want to share with all of you a dream that God gave me. One day I dreamed that I was in my house having dinner with my parents and my brothers. We were talking about all the things that are happening in the world when we heard an explosion. We went outside to see what had happened. I saw that all the people around us were also astounded, as they did not know what had happened either. Then there were more explosions, and out of them came lava so much that the earth began to heat and our feet were burning. I saw in my dream that we went back inside the house. At that moment, a huge truck with tires like great metal treads arrived. Inside the truck were two sisters with their grandsons and six well-dressed young men. They came down out of the truck, and one of them drew near. He had a book which he opened, and he said, "Felipe," that's her father, "Felipe, come with us. We have come for you. Today is a great day." A great day. He also called to my mother, to my dear grandmother, and to me, and to my brother Carlos. I saw that Carlos was seated in his wheelchair, but he left it and walked toward the truck. And climbed in. You know, sometimes we pray for people to be healed, and we don't ever see it happen. But we know that in the resurrection, we'll be raised with perfect bodies. And I have confidence that this will be the case with our young brother Carlos. The young man closed the book and did not call to my younger brother, nor to my grandfather. My father approached him to ask about the others, but the young man said that they could not come with us. He said, "No, I am sorry, Felipe, but their names are not written in the book." My brother and grandfather were pleading with my father to take them with us because they did not want to die. But the doors of the truck were closed, and we began to leave. The truck stopped at the house of another sister. Again, the young man with the book got out of the truck and called to the sister, to one of her daughters, and to her grandchildren. They got in the truck. Again, the door of the truck shut as the other daughters were calling and lamenting, saying to their mother, "Why didn't we pay attention to what you said?" As the truck began to leave, I saw that the town was being destroyed. One of the young men said to us, "Do not be sad. You have overcome. Be happy, for this is a great day." As for the others, they knew but did not want to pay attention. For this, their names are not in the book. I saw that we arrived in a large area where there were many trucks, just like the one we were traveling in. As we got down out of the truck, I saw many brothers that I knew and many whom I did not know. I saw in my dream that Brother Placido Matu came and asked my father if everyone was able to come. My father said no. Brother Placido told my father that it was the same as with us, that not all of them could come. I saw one brother climb up on a great rock. With joy, he said, "Brothers, we have won the prize." And then I awoke. I know that God has given me this dream that I may testify to every person that God knows that His return is near. I invite you to prepare your lives in the presence of God, that your names would be in the book of life. God bless you all. It's my prayer that we would all serve the Lord with gladness, that we would thank Him for all that we have and all that we are, that we would show our thankfulness through stewardship and service, so that we would be workmen that need not to be ashamed, and that we would be able to get into that truck on that great day. God bless you all.